92.1 WGHN, Grand Haven's favorite. It is 8:46. I'm Mary Ellen Murphy. Good to have you here. Ottawa County Commissioner Roger Bergman in the studio. How you doing?
Good morning.
That was a long meeting yesterday.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Kind of getting used to those.
Yeah, I combed through it a little bit, but Grand Haven Pastor Reverend Jared Kramer has settled that religious discrimination lawsuit that was filed last year for $100,000. He will pay his attorney, Sarah Howard, $26,000 to cover legal fees, and the rest will be split up between three nonprofits, the Children's Advocacy Center, Kenzie's Bee Cafe, and the Momentum Center.
Yes, and the beauty of that is that, you know, those are, two of them are ones that they had considered stopping giving county funds to.
Okay.
And so by Jared doing that is a great move on his part.
Yeah.
And then the third one is Kenzie Bee.
Yeah, Kenzie's Bee Cafe. Yeah. And I've had Aaron Lyon in the studio, and I love that place.
Yes.
And I love that whole mission.
You know,
I just love it. There is one lawsuit, or there's two lawsuits remaining, one with former Administrator John Gibbs, and then the other one with two residents who claim their Freedom of Information Act requests were filed with the county, were not fully adequately, to what the state law requires.
Correct.
I can ask you about that, but you're just going to say, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah,
yes.
So we don't know where we're at on those
where
lawsuits.
They are.
All right. All right. Let's talk about a couple of things here. Jason Schenkel, is that how you say his name?
Yes.
Okay. He is the Veterans Affairs Director. He said yesterday that the VA isn't meeting state requirements, and it took him 10 months to say that. What's that all about? Do you know?
You know, I do not know.
Okay.
That surprised me a little bit, but I know that they're playing catch-up.
Okay.
And, you know, but again, you know, yesterday we approved a budget of almost $1 million
mm-hmm.
for them.
For the Veterans Department, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is great. I mean, we definitely need to be working with veterans.
Mm-hmm.
The concern that I have is the one that I think Jacob brought up yesterday about the fact that we are continuing to build bureaucracy instead of, you know, of funding. So this is more bureaucracy. It's more staff.
Oh, I see.
It's,
okay.
A place. It's as opposed to really helping veterans with dollars.
Here's what Chris Kleinjans had to say. He put out a statement saying that he did vote yes, but he's concerned about some of the plans, what it will mean being a homeless vet without a car to get to rural West Olive to get laundry services and whatnot. Moving the office there means that vets will be farther away from where they get referred to, and that could create some issues.
Yes.
Okay.
And you know, I brought that up. I said, you know, so do you have plans for how to get people from Holland or Hudsonville or Grand Haven to this facility,
mm-hmm.
which is in West Olive,
right.
at the administration building. It's
mm-hmm.
actually where the probate court was before, across
okay.
the street.
Okay.
And so that's been vacated. That spot's been vacated. So there's plenty of room there. It's a great it's a great spot. Poor location.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there is a larger population in the Holland area, especially of homeless vets.
Yes.
And if we're trying to reach them, it makes sense to have the spot close to them.
Yeah, it does. It does. Right. Yeah. I mean.
So I know you have to weigh. You got this spot that's
mm-hmm.
available versus what do they really? Where should it be?
Right.
So that was the issue. That
okay.
we were dealing with.
Okay. Yeah. That's going to be tricky trying to figure all of that out.
Correct.
It certainly
yes.
is. Let's talk about Crockery Lake. I've got that story pulled up right here. What happened?
So that's a good question. What happened? Because we don't know. It was supposed to be on the agenda.
Okay.
For finance and
administration committee.
Yeah.
Okay.
Last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it got pulled or never put on. I'm not sure what happened. But
okay.
at the end of that meeting, two ladies got up from Crockery Lake and said, thank you for the money. Thank you for helping us.
What
and,
money? Wait.
Yeah, $600,000 to clean up their lake.
Who
and
gave them that money?
We don't know. They said it came from the Monsanto
okay.
You know, funding.
Okay.
You know, but the challenge is, for me, is I've served 12 years on the Lloyd's Bayou Lake Board and also on the Spring Lake Lake Board. And, you know, to my, and this is similar to what's happening in Macatawa Lake in Holland. You know, people that live on the lake benefit from the lake, right? I mean, there are citizens indirectly that benefit also because there are, you know, public inputs. However, the people that live on Lloyd's Bayou have paid for the remediation for that lake for forever. You know, they pay $130, $140 a year towards
that. Oh, I see how that works. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's assessed.
Okay.
And Spring Lake, we just worked out a plan to do an alum treatment there to clear up the lake. And that's those people are paying $600 a year towards that. Every member on the lake is paying $600 a year extra for their lake, but they're the ones that benefit from that. So and Macatawa Lake, those people pay for cleanup on their lake, and you know we have between 15 and 18 lakes in Ottawa County,
right?
And you know many of them are in a similar situation where, you know, they're getting a lot of algae and that kind of thing. And if they want to clean it up, they benefit. They're the ones that should be paying for it.
Right.
So
I see what
Crockery
you're saying.
Lake has been working, but they can't agree on putting together a pub, a lake board because they don't want to be assessed.
I see. Okay.
So some of them voluntarily give, but not all of them. Many of them don't.
Right.
So unless you can get people to all come together and pay for remediation of a lake, the other residents in the county shouldn't have to pay for it.
Well, I'm afraid what will happen if it's funded, other people are going to say, well, we got this over here at Lloyd's Bayou, and what about this over here? And so that's interesting.
Yes.
I used to swim in Crockery Lake. I used to go to Gross Park all the time. I lived in Ravenna, so I would take the kids there all the time. And you know, I haven't been there in decades, but I know that they've had a lot of issues. So where do we go from here then? So they have the $600,000. What happens next?
Well, I don't know how they got the $600,000.
I'm sure somebody will FOIA that to find out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure too.
Okay.
But I, you know, being on Lloyd's Bayou Lake Board and Spring Lake, you know, the people, especially on Spring Lake, I mean, they're spending over $3.4 million to put this alum treatment to help clean up their lake. They're going to want some money too.
Yeah, they are. You better be prepared for that, or you're on your way out. So much as I haven't seen you.
Yeah, I'll be done. Actually, I'm meeting with Lloyd's Bayou today.
You are? Okay.
And this will be my last meeting.
Okay.
But I'm sure it'll come up because they could use some money.
Yeah. Did you guys approve the Adoption Day resolution? Did you do that?
Yes.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really, really good to hear. That's always, I've never attended those events, but this year I want to.
Yeah.
I've heard it's just so amazing when you go into the court system and you see these kids being adopted, and it's just really something to see. So I would like to do that.
I've never been able to be there because I'm usually gone that week.
Okay.
But I went to one in Maryland for my granddaughter.
Okay.
Who was adopted.
Oh, okay.
It was a beautiful ceremony.
It is. That's what they
beautiful.
Say. They always say that.
Oh, yeah.
So they always say that it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, a lot is going to be changing in January. The Ottawa Impact will not have the majority on the board. So there will be some changes, some new people coming in, some people that have been on the board before, such as Phil Kyers coming in. So there will be some changes happening.
There will be some changes, and I'm excited to see, you know, the ability for them to look at, you know, all the things that have happened and how can we fix it? How can we go forward in a positive way? How can we look forward to, you know, once again, retaining our ability to say that we are the best run county in the state of Michigan?
And I think that at the end of the day, you know, we probably have a lot more in common than we don't.
Yes.
But the thing is, it's it's how we were able to speak to that and how we go about that, you know? Yeah. So maybe more conversations need to be had. Maybe we can get Joe Moss on the show.
Yeah.
The door is always open.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully things will move in that direction and, you know.
So Sunday I spoke at our church, to a bunch of people that were asking questions about, you know, kings and kingdoms. And about local government.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I started out my conversation by saying the first and foremost thing that we do when we're elected is we have to take an oath. I took an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the state of Michigan,
mm-hmm.
which means that I uphold all those laws. I can't pick and choose mm-hmm. which ones I want to uphold. I have to uphold all of them, which means that I might not agree with everything. However, I represent everyone in this county, from Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, atheists, Christian Reform,
right.
whatever. I represent everyone, and I have to treat everyone equally. I can't discriminate against anyone.
Right.
So that's first and foremost my responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And every commissioner that's on that board should do the same thing when they take that oath, should always remember that you represent everyone.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's lacking with many of the OI people. They want to pick and choose which ones they uphold.
Yeah. Well, that'll be changing at the first of the year, I'm afraid. You know, we'll see.
Yes.
You know, I recently had the Salvation Army on. There are 19 families in the Tri-Cities that are living in their cars. Some of them have children.
Yes.
Over 300 kids in Ottawa County define as homeless. Now, that may be their couch surfing or something's not going right in their home and they can't be there. And it breaks my heart.
Yeah,
those are the things I want to focus on. You know, I don't have 5 hours to watch a meeting. I'm sorry. I just don't.
Yeah.
But
and then last week at Finance,
mm-hmm.
you know, Coopersville has this plan to build this housing
development,
and they turned it down.
Okay.
The commissioners turned it down.
And why did they do that?
Because they felt that the people that live in that community don't want it because it's, you know, it's one of those situations.
Is it low-income housing?
Some low-income housing, yes. Yes, but
I don't even like that. I don't even like that we call it low. I have a major problem with that.
Yeah, it's not low income housing. What it is, it's affordable housing.
Okay, but some people see that as
it's affordable housing for some people that can't afford, you know, $1,200 a month or $1,400 a
mm-hmm.
month. Yeah.
So where where are people supposed to live? And there was a teacher that spoke during public comment about, you know, wanting to teach in this area but can't afford to live here, and how frustrating that is for many
first
people.
Guy that got up yesterday. Yeah.
It is. It's an issue.
I agree.
It's an issue nationwide though, Roger. For affordable housing is an issue nationwide.
Yes.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you think of that, you think, okay, so a guy is making $55,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't afford to rent someplace.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say?
Oh, it says a lot.
Yeah.
It says a lot. Yeah. I just hope that things will certainly change and we'll see. I think a lot of issues that you face with renting is that these big corporations buy these houses.
Yes.
And they charge, you know, $1,800 for a 2-bedroom, you know, house in Kent County or in Ottawa County. And it's just because you can get that much for it doesn't mean you have to charge for that much for it if it's not worth it. I mean, I've seen houses that look like, you know, 1972 and, you know, shag carpet and orange walls, and they're charging $2,300 a month. It's insanity.
Yeah. The challenge is that, you know, for a lot of those developments, the cost,
mm-hmm.
the return on investment, unless you charge 12 or 14.
I get it.
You can't build. So that's the flip side.
It is the flip side.
The flip side is that if you're a developer, you still have to make a dollar.
Right. Oh, we're out of time. CBS News, we got to get to that.